Hi, I'm Laura Ott, and along with my dad, Otto, we're the hosts of the Feel Good Hairdressing podcast. We are from Hair Ott, a family-run group of hairdressing salons and training academy based in the south of England. Our podcast is here to be your virtual salon companion. In it, we will be sharing our knowledge and experience to support you in this amazing industry. We will also be sharing our downfalls and mistakes in the hope that you avoid making them. Join us as we explore the world of the hairdressing team, giving you a behind-the-scenes look at the magic that happens beyond the chair. So, whether you're a seasoned hairdresser, salon owner, or new to the industry, this podcast is your VIP pass to the heart of the salon. Thank you for joining us on the first episode of the Feel Good Hairdressing Podcast. I'm Laura Ott, one of the owners of Hair Ott. My dad, Otto Ott, founder of Hair Ott, is here too. And today we will be talking about those new to the industry. We will be referring to assistants and apprentices, but what we really mean are people that are new to the industry and want to become successful hairdressers. We do discuss apprenticeships a lot. That's because for us, an apprenticeship is the best route into hairdressing. But of course, other educational routes are available. During this episode, we'll explore the secrets of hairdressing education, discover how to ace your apprenticeships, and we will teach you the two cocktail rule. So let's get started. I think this is the perfect opportunity to introduce you to Otto. Otto has over 40 years of experience in the industry and has trained many, many, many successful hairdressers. But let me ask you, how did you train as a hairdresser?
I started off in Munich, 1963, and I still remember it very well. It was outside a big beer hall, and naturally in Germany, you can't drink alcohol whenever you like.
Even when you're working?
Even when you're working. I actually remember very often at lunchtime, I went to the beer hall, and you went across the road with about 2-3 steins for your team member. So as you can see, hairdressing completely changed. The education we were able to get, it was very restrictive, right? You just didn't have all the colours, the cutting techniques, the excitement what we have now. I started off with shampoo and sets. The only highlights me did was highlights without any variation.
So was that when you would use a cap, or was it even before a cap?
We used the caps, and if you're very exclusive, you maybe put the tinfoils in.
Ooh.
So we moved forwards, and the only other thing, it really was, we did a lot of perm still.
Yeah.
So the good thing was, with all of this, the hairs were so damaged. So when you backcombed it and put some super glue on, we didn't have super glue at this time, but the hairspray was very much like super glue. It was solid.
Yeah.
You know, if there was any spider or bird nets in it, this would stay solid. Bird's nest in it. It would stay solid for at least 2 weeks. So you can see hairdressing changed completely from the days back to now.
So how did you end up in London then? Obviously before you met my mum.
Yeah, it was actually a journey. Once I finished my apprenticeship in 66, as I loved skiing, I decided to move in first to Liechtenstein for Duis, and then I moved to Interlaken. But if you work in Switzerland, you have to be able to learn English. So I decided to move to Guernsey, one of the Channel Islands. And again, we had a fantastic time there, but after about 7 months, I worked there for the summer season, and once the season was over, some people say to me, you probably still have to improve your English. The terrible thing is, even after all these years, some people still say I should improve my English. But I would say very unkind. Even people say I have an accent, and I can't hear it. But then again, I sound very much like Arnie. Arnie can't hear the accent, so they're very much the same. Anyway, from Guernsey, I moved to London, and where I started working first for Alan Spears, who was a salon in Berkeley Square, very exclusive. You had to wear a suit, you had to wear a tie.
Yeah, so you came to London, so you went to Alan Spears, and then obviously you've also worked at Tony and Guy and Vidal Sassoon.
Yeah.
So would you like to share a little bit about
that? Certainly.
Were you an assistant there? Did you have to start again?
I finished actually all my apprenticeships in Munich, so I always worked as a designer. Naturally, the first session where I started off was Sassoon's, and when you worked for Sassoon's, I think it was a 3 months training period, which I absolutely enjoyed. You learned all the Sassoon's classic haircuts, and what was absolutely fantastic. We were with a team of people. Everybody wanted to learn. Everybody just wanted to be very exciting with their work. It was fantastic then. I always had. We worked with assistants there, so you did probably about 10 haircuts a day each. So we usually had one assistant between the two of us.
Now, I had a bit of a lucky escape, didn't I? Because didn't you want to name me after one of your assistants?
She worked a little hard out. She was absolutely brilliant. And then from Sassoon, eventually, I moved to Tony and Guy. Again, I loved the experience there. It was wonderful. But then I got married, I met Barbara, and we decided to marry. And then we had to make a decision, should we stay in London or should we move out of London? And as it was, my brother-in-law just got a house in Petersfield, so we decided to move out of London and open up our salon in Portsmouth. This is basically the history with us.
So why have you always, so opened up in Portsmouth in 1976, and I think you would agree in saying that since 1976, education has been like the heartbeat of Hair Rot. Why has it always been the main focus for you?
When I remember back, and it's not, we just didn't have the same excitement when I had my apprenticeship. I was only working for Tony and Guy and Sassoon. What education actually did for you.
Do you mean when you look back to when you were in Munich?
Yeah.
It wasn't exciting?
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
It was very basic, and you did your sets. You did very basic haircuts. As I say, the colour was, again, very basic block colours. And only working for a company like Sassoon's, Antoni and Guy, we created the excitement through consistently moving forwards, bringing out new hair designs, on consistent education. This was one of the promises I did myself. Whenever I open up my business, this is one I want the business to be based on, this education.
To create that excitement. I mean, because it's no easy task, is it? Employing the majority of younger people as trainee hairdressers. I mean, to have education as the base of the foundation of the salon is quite a challenge.
It's very challenging. I think the only way you have to do it, and I think this is, you can't say this to every assistant, don't accept what you see just now. Think what you're actually able to achieve. And treat young people as future stars. But they will be our future. And we have to look at them as our future star. And you don't look at them as they come in, they're grotty, unsmiling, maybe a runny nose. But look at them completely different and see what they can achieve.
Because I think as an industry, we've seen all the figures about how there's a massive reduction in salons taking on apprentices, in young people coming into the industry. I know at Hair Rot, obviously, that we've this year alone, we've got 8 new apprentices. Last year, I think we had 6. What do you think the benefit to the businesses is having apprentices?
I think we couldn't exist. We could not exist without our assistants.
Yeah, completely.
How difficult and heartbreaking it sometimes is, and how disappointing it is. But then it is absolutely brilliant. Seeing something, be creative, being a wonderful human being. Well, I must say one of the biggest amazing thing what I see from them, they're coming in as maybe quite often 15-year-olds, as Saturday assistants, as a quite miserable, as I say, slightly grotty. So however difficult when it started off, when it takes a lot of hours, it takes a lot of effort, but in the end, I think it is well worth doing it.
So from the eight that we've got starting this year, the ones that actually go through to being designers on the shop floor, I think it's usually only two or three out of that eight. Some companies, some salons might look at that as a negative, but we don't necessarily see it as a negative, do we? We see it as that the people that throughout their transition of training with us, that people change, they might discover it's not for them, they might not like us, but that we know that the people that we've got at the end are fully in our culture and have our high standards.
Yes, as I say, there's eight, we probably lose six, maybe even seven of it. But as we are structured our companies, we have our own education centre. So every designer will move somewhere else with the quality of work we gave them. They actually become an advertisement for our education centre.
Yeah, completely. And really, anybody can leave our salon and walk into another salon as a fully qualified, you know, once they finish their apprenticeship, as a fully qualified designer.
I quite agree with you. Any of our assistants should be able to work in any of the other salons.
Yeah.
And
do
they
well.
They all have our support.
Yeah. And I think the important thing is as well, so we've got our Apprenticeship Academy Masterclass, we've got Hair Art Education, but I think the important thing for all of us is that we share the knowledge, but what we want to do is we want to bring the standards up. We don't want any other salon owners to feel pushed down or you know, struggling. What we want to do by having our education that we bring the whole standards of the industry up.
It's for our own importance to have as many successful salon around us
yeah.
as possible.
Yeah.
So this is really our goal. We need our, we have three salons, and in our three salons, I would say 99% all the designers started off with us as assistants.
Yeah. Some of them even Saturday assistants.
Most of them Saturday assistants.
Yeah.
And in this way, we need the salons to see what difficulties the under salon faces. If we would be just the education center, we're actually distancing ourselves from the under salons.
Yeah.
But having the same problems, and I would say we all have the same problems as all the under salons, it enables us to adapt our education.
Yeah, completely. So if we talk, so at Herald, the main route into having an apprenticeship with us is that usually the first stage might be that they've done some work experience with us. So we work with a company called Education Business Partnership, which links businesses and schools in the local area, and we take on their pupils for work experience. If they're good on their work experience, we're offering them a SASTE assistant position. And then if the SASTE assistant position goes well, then we're moving them on to interviewing for an apprenticeship. So at Masterclass Academy, which is the education apprenticeship wing of Herot, we offer a level two apprenticeship and then also a level three. All Herot team members do a level two and a level three. Level two takes roughly about 15 months. Level three takes roughly about 15 months. And then ideally, somewhere at the beginning or the middle of the level three, they actually go onto the shop floor as a designer. So if we just rewind that back a bit, so we talk about the assistants themselves. So they've started their apprenticeship with us at 16, even though they've been SASTE assistants, for, you know, to go from school to a working environment, it can be quite a shock. And I think, like you always say, even we're hairdressers, but we're not actually, our business isn't hairdressing, our business is people. We're in a people business.
Once they're Saturday assistants, they actually realise how hard the work is, but how important it is to enjoy. To enjoy your team members. I always would prefer, before they start with us, to be Saturday assistants. And we can actually see the development, once they start off as Saturday assistants, is actually to a certain extent quicker than if you come in as 16s. But what they realize, hairdressing more and more is a people business. It's nothing just to do with hair. It has to do with people. And it gives our Saturday assistants the experience to interact with our clients. As we say, they are people. And it makes it for them so much easier than to step further.
So once they're Saturday assistants, and then I guess the opportunity is that they know that this is something that they really want to do.
They will have the knowledge. They will have all the shampoo knowledge. They will have the ability to do brilliant shampoos, ask the clients and check with the clients what products is the right for them, excellent head massages. And in many ways, our young people or our young assistants are actually quite unable to touch people or interact with people.
Do but you mean gives, after COVID and stuff?
Yeah.
They're very conscious of touching and sanitization and stuff.
Interacting. Well, this gives them a way in. So it will make the apprenticeship much easier. And I would advise anybody to maybe run a Saturday assistance program.
So we run our Saturday assistance program over a 6-week period.
Yeah.
During that 6-week period, they do shampoo training, product knowledge. And then ideally, the 6-week period ends with a shampoo test themselves.
Yeah, yeah. What it actually, many assistants come to us as Saturday assistants. And the only pitch of hairdressing is when they start off like this, is brushing the floor or making tea and coffee. What is the important part of it all? But at the same time, there's more to them. And the minute they start as Saturday assistants, we want them to be involved. And this is really what hairdressing is all about, to be involved with each other as a team.
So do you mean involved not just with the other assistants, but the designers and the reception? So if we have a Saturday assistant, or even if we've got a new apprentice on the shop floor that hasn't been a Saturday assistant, how can they become involved? Or is it really the responsibility of the salon owner and manager to start off by making them involved and finding out more about them?
I think it's all our responsibility. Every team member. You come into hairdressing, and I was the. You want to be involved. You want to do things. It's a hands-on profession.
Yeah.
So you want to do things. So I think I'm some more. Me ask them to get involved and give them different challenges and different areas where they can improve themselves. And the only way you can do this if the whole team is involved.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things we also do is that we give them mentors. What do you think is, what's so important about having a mentor in the salon?
The important thing to be a mentor is to get somebody, you're 16 when you arrive, and, you know, there are people from 30, 40, 50, 60 years upwards. So there could be an age gap in between. And in this, it's very important to give them a mentor they can relate to. And so anything what they would like to express themselves, the mentor should be here with them.
Yes. I think it is a shock for some assistants when they start, the hours, you know, how busy it is. Obviously, we try to make it as comfortable as possible for them. Our assistants have started. They're new to the world of hairdressing. What advice can we give assistants to help them ace their apprenticeships?
A really good advice, I always think, have breakfast in the morning. You know, if you don't have breakfast, you come in hungry, and anybody hungry can't really concentrate. The other thing is, see how the team dress, and I'm sure there's a dress code, so dress yourself like you're going to a party, and you don't look like you just left the party. But if you come like you're going to a party, it makes you actually feel better, and you feel in a much higher level of success. It makes your life so much easier. Then see yourself every day. What could I do better today? What is important for me today? And look around to, in any salon team, some people are just better than other people in different cards, colouring, highlighting, perming. Look around and see, what do I want to learn today? Come out every day, if you just learn a little bit, over a year is a huge amount. And keep your mind open and look in the salon and think, who I want to be and what can I learn today?
I think one of the big things then is to make sure that you give yourself an opportunity to have a good day every day. And that starts with waking up early and having a breakfast and making sure you get to work on time. Because obviously the opposite of that is if you're late, you don't have breakfast, you just throw some clothes on, you know, you just make it in to work. You know, you're already in kind of like a bad mood. Your manager might make a sarcastic comment about your attendance, you know, and then you're here, then your day just goes downhill desperately. So what we really try to encourage is giving yourself an opportunity to, you know, to have a good day. Because obviously stuff happens, but if you've already started off on the right foot, then it's a lot easier to go up. And if you've started off on the wrong foot, it's a lot easier to go down.
This is very true. Well, it's very easy. You become defensive and you lose a day. When you're 16, losing a day is probably not a big deal. But in the long term, it will be a big deal. So then sometimes have the courage and give yourself a chance and ask your manager, ask your employee, can I sit down for 50 minutes mid-year and can you start off again?
Yeah.
So let's start the day again.
Yeah.
Let's explain why things happened. And as an employee, we don't know always your circumstances. And if we maybe make the wrong remarks, which is sometimes really human, and if you tell us how we can help you, we're able to help you and we are willing to help you.
I think that's the important thing, isn't it? To remember that, you know, we are all human, so there are going to be blips, but those blips apply as much to the manager and the salon owner sometimes as it does to the assistant or the hairdresser. So it's always good to have a little bit of forgiveness, if you know, because a manager may say something to you and they've meant it one way, but you've interpreted the other way. And then it could just damage your relationship and your day. And then it's not helping you get to the place that you want to be, which hopefully is a fantastic hairdresser.
I think the only work and the only way to work together to make it all pleasant, you have to, for education really to work, you have to be relaxed and in a quiet, open-minded mood. And you know, your brain has to be willing to absorb. And the easiest way, if we're kind to each other.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, employee to everybody around it, and the employees to you. And it's just, be kind to each other. It's very easy to make life tough for each other. There's no winner, there's purely destruction. But this is not important. Now let's go back to your apprenticeship.
Well, I'd like to carry on from there. I think also one of the important things about acing your apprenticeship is the fact that you're going to hear feedback sometimes that's going to be quite hard to hear, but you have to remember that it's not being done in a sense to upset you, it's being done to help you. It's being done to help you achieve your goals, you know, as well as the salon owners, it's being done to help you achieve your goals. And sometimes you have to listen to the feedback and not react straight away. Listen to what your trainer or your manager is saying and really think, okay, so, you know, what the information they're telling me, how can I use this next time to be better? Because I think one of the greatest shocks is how long it actually takes to train as a hairdresser, that it's not a simple process at all. And it's something that you have to repeat often. I think you said that you have to do something seven times.
You have to do it seven times
before it gets embedded. So during that period, there's going to be a lot of feedback, and especially the generation that we have now, you know, they see a lot of stuff on the internet and TikTok and it looks like everything's instant, but it's really not instant in hairdressing, is it? It's a long process.
It actually always takes, like anything you learn, it takes longer than you think it will be. So they say to you to understand any haircuts, colouring technique, it takes at least seven times. I tell you about my Uncle Edison. He lives in America, brilliant hairdresser. He said the last haircut he took, it took him 27 times. The haircut didn't come out right, but he doesn't look at it. He didn't got it wrong 27 times. He only learned 27 times how not to do the haircut. The 28th time, the haircut was absolutely brilliant. But it's a learning experiment. And so whatever went wrong, it's not wrong. It's just it shouts you're underway to not to do it, to get the hair, the result what you like. Actually, my Uncle Edison, eventually he moved out of hairdressing and they invented the light bulb.
Maybe he was a great uncle.
He was a great uncle, yeah.
So what we're saying, though, is that whilst traditionally failure is looked at a bad thing, within an education setting it, of learning to be a hairdresser, failure isn't seen as a bad thing because you're just teaching, you're learning ways in which not to do it. And so you have to constantly be thinking about why you're doing and what you're doing. And that's a trained skill in itself, isn't it? To actually have the ability to think.
Absolutely. You said ability to think. I think the most important thing of all of it is a willingness to think. Thinking is so important. But out of the 27 haircuts, who didn't give you the result you wanted, there are at least 2, 3, 4, 5 haircuts in there you can use in different circumstances. Like I always say, it's not necessarily a bad haircut, it's just the wrong haircut and the wrong person at the wrong time. Everything you create or not create, or you think maybe went wrong, keep it and use it again. Be conscious what you do or how you can help them to make the experience better.
Because obviously our assistants are our designers of the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the client needs to almost start seeing them as the professional rather than the school leaver.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if you look at it, any of our clients, a huge percentage is over 50.
Yeah.
And they're looking at our assistants as their grandchildren. And many, many of them wouldn't let their grandchildren anywhere near their hair. So it is important for them to get to act consciously. See, what we teach our assistants to do the handshake.
Yeah.
And I always love the handshake as a big equalizer. If you look 16, and as we know, some of our 16-year-olds look like 12-year-olds. And some of them look like 45 years old. But the minute they do the handshake, it is an equalizer. And the client sees them more as a professional than sees them as a 16-year-old school leaver. What makes a challenge for us? Why, we have to pay the wages. We have to get them involved as quickly as possible. So any action we can do to make them more as professional is very, very helpful. And this is where the handshake comes in.
So, and the handshake does, it gives it that professional touch, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, and then I guess one of the main things in the salon as well is the fact that there's mirrors everywhere. So even though you're looking after, you may be thinking that you're looking after one client, quite potentially future clients are also watching you in the mirror.
Yeah, very, very important. Right. Like any place, we've been there a long time, we're unaware, we feel, get to feel very comfortable to an extent. So, however we brush the floor, we behave, and I wouldn't advise necessarily pick your nose in the salon, but even if we don't smile, look defensive, it will be picked up by the client. But the client sits there sometimes 2, 3 hours, and if they're not on their phone, they do get bored and they start looking around. And so how we behave and how professional behave is very, very important. I would say if you're free, walk around, interact with the clients, see if they like any more refreshment or magazines, and just show your face so they remember you as somebody they can trust. But this will be your clients next year or the year after.
So then it goes back to us being in a people business. So one of the main areas then is communication. So if you are new to the world of hairdressing and learning to communicate across generations, what do you think is the biggest hindrance to that learning how to communicate?
As we already know, we have the telephone. The telephone can be a wonderful part of your education or very, very damaging. In many ways, it can take away your ability to think. And if this happens, I don't know how to say this.
So what you mean is when because the team are looking so much, because the assistant is perhaps looking at their phone and just scrolling. So I think now the latest research shows that concentration levels are about less than a goldfish.
For you to be successful, you have to be able to focus.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't got the ability to focus, this means you can't have enough time in your mind to get the information together to provide a good service to your client. Where it will help, you have maybe a client who comes in last week and she told you a problem that you maybe couldn't solve at the time. So it's ideal looking at your telephone and check what shampoo you could use or what colour or what toners you could use to give the client a much better outcome. If you do this, it will be a brilliant experience for our guests, but they know you're actually thinking about them. What is excellent? The minute the clients you think you care about them, even if you make a mistake, and mistakes happen, some of the clients, they get their shoulders wet, they get water running down, and even happens to me sometimes. But if you show care, people will forgive you, and actually they will come back and respect you even more. But you have to be focused. If you can't concentrate, you won't be able to remember how to do the shampoo, how to do the head massage. You won't remember the choice of shampoos we have, of conditioners. And I can't actually see how in the long term you can work in the industry, which is an ever-changing industry. So it's very important to be able to focus.
One of the things we do with our assistants is that we do shampoo consultations. Yeah. We teach them shampoo consultations. Do you think the benefit of that is that they then learn how to communicate with all different age groups?
I think, yeah. I think a shampoo consultation, let's say, we ask them to do the handshake, sit down and ask the client what problems they perceive, what problems they have with the hair and scalp, and how they can help them. Again, it gives them the ability to be conscious when they're around the client. They think and they provide a care for the client. Well, now I say it, it is always reflected in the amount of tip they become.
Yeah.
And what I would say, if you're...
Two cocktail roux.
Two, over 16, and if you don't do at least the tip for two cocktail a day, you have to maybe put a little bit more effort in.
Yeah.
And it's then for you, and you have the choice. What can you learn to really improve this?
Yeah.
And on a Saturday, maybe even make it three cocktails.
Or four.
Or four.
If it's buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the things that we should touch on is about taking pride in your salon. Because they may see themselves just as, oh, I'm just a cleaner, or I just make the teas and coffees. But I think for us, what we really want is we want our team to have pride in working for us and pride in the salon.
Yeah, you're quite right there. It is actually, the sad thing is, so many of young people, they come in, they go to school from home, and very often, I don't know, there's a statistic outside, how often they heard the word, no, you can't do this, you can't do this. But we want to create a space what is the space is really, yes, you can do this. Yes, you can move forward. Yes, you will be better. It's not a question, you can be better. You will be better. With all our effort around you, we're creating a space to make it better. But you have to be involved. You have to care. You know, if there's some, or every client in the salon is everybody's responsibility. And as our assistants, you maybe have more interaction with all of our clients than anybody else.
Well, they do. I mean, whenever we research our clients, mostly their most favourite part is the backwash, which is looked after by our assistants.
Absolutely. So we have a situation. The first impact is actually even more important, is the chair where the client will sit. Most of our time is our assistant who are responsible for this, plus the designers, to keep the chair tidy, to give them a smile. It's the gift of a smile, where it's so easy, but many young people, or many people, find it so difficult to give. Again, we're going back to kindness. For you to receive kindness, give kindness. But again, the assistants have to see, for doing this, there is a result for them too. So it is keeping the salon clean, make sure the refreshments are perfect. The client gets asked. Once one refreshment is finished, we ask again, see if they can do it better, make it a brilliant backwash experience. And then maybe the little thing, make sure there's toilet in the toilet papers.
Well, I think the team would laugh at that because I am obsessed with there being toilet roll in the toilets because obviously we don't want any clients walking in, and there's nothing worse than a woman walking in and there's not being any toilet paper, you know, or there's that bit where there's that little straggly bit just on the cardboard box.
Yeah, but it's always very, very disappointing.
Yeah.
So, yes, the only way to create this atmosphere, everybody has to be involved.
Yeah. And then also what it does is that, you know, if you take pride in your salon, then it makes your work more enjoyable as well. You like the place you work. You're receiving the education that you want to receive. I know during an apprenticeship, the apprentice has targets. So they have targets that they've got to hit. If it might be, you know, getting their health and safety unit completed or following their shampooing unit. So their whole education program is target driven until the endpoint assessment. Can the assistant set themselves targets in the salon as well?
I think purely for the sense of fun. And it is very, very important to have fun in the salon. So long it is under a very professional surrounding. I think, again, it's very important to set your daily targets. Maybe how many treatments or how the client comments on your shampoo. When you want to do, make sure you do your first root colors, when you do your first highlights. And it should be a consistent setting of targets. And sometimes have a little bit of a competition between the other team members. It could be who becomes the most tips for the cocktails, who does the most treatments, who does the most amazing highlights, and who gets the best feedback. But we don't want to leave anything behind. But if we find this really, really works, share it with everybody else.
What you're saying is that if you find something that really works,
if anything works well for you and it makes the client happy, please share it with everybody else.
What would you give as an example of that?
As an example is maybe you find a good combination of a shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah.
You find maybe some products work very well on some specific hair. You wash highlights off with one of your designers. You use a special toner, the client is very happy about. So any little thing, what little or big things, what you find, it gave it a better outcome, please share it.
Yeah. And that really shows how important they are to the salon as well.
Yeah.
That it is all part of one team.
Yeah, yeah.
Overall then, would you say one of the biggest things for an assistant to do to ace their apprenticeship is to really take responsibility? So take responsibility for themselves, take responsibility for their qualification, and take responsibility for their dreams.
Very much so. Very, very much so. But what we always try to do, encourage our assistants to speak to us about the dreams. Where would you like to go? What is the outcome you have? Once we know, it makes it much easier to support you. You maybe want to be a colour specialist. You maybe want to do competition work. As I say, the list is endless. Go travelling, work abroad. And we always can help you there with advice or at least guide you into the right direction where you can find even more support. So please share the dreams with us.
And then when you do know what you want to become, if you want to become a manager or if you want to become like the highest priced hairdresser in the salon, one of the things that we kind of encourage is them to behave as the person that they would like to come. So to watch them and see what they do and ask them for advice.
Yeah, it's always a very good way to cut down education time. If you want to be the best balayage expert, then look in the salon who you think is the best balayage expert. Work with them, visualize in your mind how they do it, and you will find it really takes a lot of time away for you to learn it. Before you actually start practicing, visualize it in your mind, do the whole experience, do the whole work in your mind first, and then do it maybe on some heads and some models, and you find it makes the whole experience much, much easier. But then you start off of a basis, I can do it. And the minute you start something off in with your mindset, I can, time goes much faster.
So what you're saying is if you see a team member who's doing a fantastic balayage, watch them do the balayage, and then once you've watched them, visualise it in your mind, you doing the balayage, and then try it on a doll's head, and then actually try it on a person. And what you've done is you've already set yourself up the learning process, because your mind doesn't know the difference between a visualisation and an actual activity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're already starting the learning process for yourself to become just as good balayager as that designer.
As the person you actually watch it.
Yeah.
But it takes you... Our biggest barrier to learning is at the back of our mind, what tells you consistently you can't do it.
Yeah.
Once you distract this, and once in your mind you tell yourself, I can,
yeah,
and you come from a I can attitude, life becomes so much easier.
Yeah. One of the things that maybe assistants sometimes feel, hopefully not, you know, in our salons, but they might feel that they're unimportant to the salon, that they don't matter. How important are they?
Sometimes from a negative background, and you experience setback to actually feel important.
Yeah.
I think it's us as a employee, it's very important to every day to empower them and explain to them. I always say it's like you have this huge, expensive racing car. But every bolt in this car is important. If there's just a little bolt missing, the car will break up. So this $1 million car will not work if not every unit works together. And everyone in our salon, including our Saturday assistants, are part of these racing cars. And the more we all work together, and so faster the car will be. And so faster, wherever you want to go in your dreams, you will get there.
Time for a shameless plug, though. One of the things that we've created with the Feel Good Hairdressing, which is the hair education website, is that you have filmed the 4 classic haircuts. Why do we start our assistants off with the 4 classic haircuts?
The reason we start them off with the 4 classic haircuts is so it gives you the basic of haircutting. It shows you, I think the only way I can compare it, if you learn the piano or you like to be a great musician, you have to learn the notes, you have to learn the scales, and you have slowly to understand the music. So our four haircuts are basically the beginning of everything you're going to do. And it gives you the discipline, the understanding how to hold your scissors, where the angles of your scissors will be, where the line will be. Some people, you could use individual section of the four haircuts. You could say, the outcome is actually not a haircut. But it is like learning the notes. You need the notes to really grade the haircuts what you like to grade. Without a basic education, you will find it very, very difficult. As we always say, once you learn all the bases, once you understand how cutting works, then forget everything you learn and become to be creative. But once you have the basics in your heart and in your mind, it always will help. This is your stepladders, the beginning of the stepladders to your success. Without them, you build it all on sand.
So the foundation of haircuts, the four classics. So we've got the C-section.
We've got the square layers.
Square layers.
The C-section.
C-section.
The round graduation. Round graduation. We call it the mishmash.
Rule breaker, I think it's
the rule breaker. But in the fourth haircut, you're in the mix. The three techniques, what you find in the first haircuts.
And the importance of these haircuts is that a lot of people, I often see on Facebook groups, there's a lot of salons that feel that the short haircut education that our new apprentices receive, obviously not in our salons, that there's not enough short haircut education. So this actually gives...
Yeah. We see so often now, a lot of salons actually don't do short haircuts anymore. So yeah. I don't think it's sometimes the designers are not prepared to put the time and effort in to actually learn them. But if you understand and be able to do the short haircuts, understand the techniques, understand how to hold the scissors, how to move your body, how to lift your elbow, it becomes more like a dance than an effort.
Yeah.
This is the beauty of it. You can go then, once you understand this, is, as I say, once you be able to play the notes on a piano, you can go anywhere.
Yeah. So the haircuts aren't there to be a head. You've got a client in front of you, this is the haircut you should do. No. The haircuts are there purely to show you the technique to understand why hair would work in a certain way or fall in a certain manner.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or why you need to cut a certain way to get a certain shape.
Yeah. It will help you to look at the face shapes. It will help you how the haircut works on the body shape. It tells you actually the reason why.
Yeah.
Why will I do this haircut? Why will it suit the client?
Yeah, because there would be some people that say, oh, the haircuts are really old-fashioned, but it's not about the haircut, is it?
When we think about notes.
Yeah.
Notes go back...
Beethoven?
I would say even further. So it's the importance is not the outcome. There's importance for how you use the education for your own success.
Yeah.
And this is like notes. Music was for us going back to eternity.
Yeah.
Music always will be the same. Notes will be the same.
Yeah.
So this will be the basic technique. It always will be with us.
Yeah.
It's a willingness to embrace it.
Yeah.
And sometimes to get to a certain outcome, you just have to learn something.
Yeah, completely. And then we also have left-handed.
Especially on our first four haircuts, we have an educator who does the haircut left-handed.
Yeah.
Oh, this is purely for me personally. I sometimes find it quite difficult to teach left-handed designers. But with the help of this video, it will make your life easier.
Yeah.
Sometimes as employee, as teacher, as educator, we can do with a little help.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Actually, and that's really who the video is aimed at, isn't it? So as well as... You know, it's good for assistance, but it is really aimed at the salon owners, at the teachers, to use it as a tool to help them to help train their
to
team.
To make the life a little bit easier.
Yeah, of course. So the videos are available on our Feel Good website, which is www.feel-goodhairdressing.co.uk. We also have on there some free head sheets. So head sheets is also a tool we use in our team's hairdressing experience. What the head sheet, would you agree what the head sheet does is it breaks down the haircut and the colour and again goes back to that ability to think?
What the head sheet does, again, you teach, and the last thing you want is the assistants to go back on the phone and their mind wanders off. So if me ask them, once they finish me teach the haircut, write it down and go through the haircut in your mind once more. And can I just say, if you use the video and if you use the haircuts in there, and if you would like any comments, me always very welcoming any comments and any suggestion what you have. So please feel comfortable to do this.
Yeah, fantastic. So we've got the head sheets. And it's probably also worth pointing out that we also have an A to Z guide on acing your apprenticeship, which is just, it's just an easy reader guide, but hopefully it will give everybody the foundation of doing well in their hairdressing education. So next time we are talking about our hairdressers and how to be a consultant hairdresser. But I hope you have enjoyed today's podcast. Any final thoughts, Otto?
I think this basically, there's so many details in there. We probably will come back to some of the points and maybe spend much, much more time on there.
Yeah.
It is like the visualization, it's NLP, techniques of cutting. It is endless, and I'm sure you're going to stop me.
Probably. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that's a wrap. Thank you for tuning in to the Feel Good Hairdressing Podcast. We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a fabulous review on your favourite podcast platform. Your support is totally appreciated, and it also helps others discover the world of Feel Good Hairdressing. It would be great to connect. Come and say hi on our socials. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and visit our website at www.feel-goodhairdressing.co.uk. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the magic doesn't end here though. Every day is a chance to embrace your brilliance, and we're right here cheering you on. See you soon.